CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, CliffCentral.com. On a Monday, it is the 10th of May, and we are checking in with a bunch of people here this morning who we thought might be interesting for you to hear from, starting with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who we're getting lots and lots of comments on from everybody. People like him. I mean, I can see why. He cuts straight to the chase. It's very practical stuff. And he's right. Like, the way that we do, the way that therapy is done now is very different to the way that many of us see it. We still see it in that old school kind of a little bit, you know, a little bit antiquated and not necessarily particularly useful. It's more like just having someone to talk to, which is the way many of us understand that to be. These days, it's much more practical. So some terrific feedback about Dr. Hanan, and we'll have him back on when he's got some time. He's terrific. Okay. Loads of things to talk about this morning. As I mentioned earlier, we've got Collectomania coming up in a little while, and that's always exciting. We get to hear what other people are collecting and what they're doing with their money and their time, and that tells you a huge amount about people. And if you've got an interesting thing that you're collecting, you might want to let us know. Just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. C.S. Sangweni, I saw you.
Yeah.
You collect moisturizers, among other things. I mean, you use them, but you collect them as well. I saw you this morning preening just before the show. See, it has this, it's like thing around the eyes, and then, you know, gets it all together.
You see, this is why I've mentioned before on the show, this is why I do different checks in different rooms with different lighting as to how oily or shiny you look. This morning, I'll admit myself, I look pretty glossy and way too shiny, but
that's good.
Alas, I'm trying to make sure I'm good and equipped for winter.
Isn't glossy better than ashy? I mean, let's not mess around.
I guess, but you also don't want to look like a Maguinia that's straight out of the bucket of oil. That's
nice.
Not the look one wants to go for.
Right.
We brought the story up in the five things, but I wanted to share some of the videos that were collated on social media around this. This is the AKA story. So the report speaks about the screenshots that were taken from this video that is still not released by News24, where AKA allegedly broke into the door where Anele, or Nelly as she was affectionately called, was in.
Yeah.
And there were two particular videos that seemed to have been taken in and around the time of Anele's passing in Cape Town. So the first is what seems to be Anele having a breakdown. For me, it was a little jarring to look at, but I'd like to know your thoughts on this. This is Anele supposedly having a breakdown around AKA's friends.
You don't know what he's been doing to me. You don't know what he's been doing to me.
Sure, that is very upsetting. Right. My God. You know, I mean, obviously it's more upsetting because she's no longer around, you know, she died, and obviously it makes it much, much worse. But I don't like seeing anyone in distress like that. It really upsets me because I have to say, maybe I've just grown up in a very sheltered way. But the minute a woman is screaming like that, I instantly get extremely uncomfortable, and I want to do something about it. Like, I want to solve the problem somehow, which I know is not always the most useful thing to do. But man, when I see that, it just doesn't. Either she's unhinged, you know, this is just the casual observer now. Again, I'm no expert, but either she's completely unhinged and has emotional problems, which is likely, judging from the behavior. Or there is a huge amount of duress. In other words, that he has made her feel that way, and perhaps it's justifiable that she's behaving that way. I don't know which is true, but I see people behaving like this more and more. I mean, we watched that video the other day of that guy driving the car into the news cafe because his ex-girlfriend was sitting there, and I see a lot of people with massive problems, emotional and mental problems. And they're not able to deal with them sensibly, Like they act out, they tantrum, or they start screaming and shouting, or they have infantile reactions to trying to comprehend what's going on in their heads or their hearts. Very, very sad. It's that there's, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to advise people like that. I don't know what to do about it, but it's definitely happening more and more.
And I see one of the comments is that we have here is, who's recording stuff like that in a moment like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the thing is, when somebody does record something like that, it could very well be because it's happened many times in the past. And, you know, you're trying to show the person what they're doing in that time. Mm-hmm. That can happen. I mean, I know that from my own personal history, because I've been prone to having the same breakdowns.
Mm.
And, you know, at that point, the people that you're with at that stage just want to show you what you're doing in that moment because you don't really know.
Yes, but there is there's the additional question of, like, in a world where people have these phones on us the whole time and we can now record each other, are we actually making things worse by documenting this, and especially by sharing it publicly, which is extremely it's shameful for the person who's in the videos, right? It's embarrassing.
Mm.
And, I don't know how these videos were released and who released them.
And who recorded them?
Well, the thing is, there's so many emotions running high in amongst the group that are involved, whether it's each of their family members or their friends. You know, at some point, someone might feel like protecting AKA and saying, but listen, it wasn't just him who was involved in this. It wasn't a one-sided thing.
Right.
This is what she was behaving like. So, yeah, there can be emotions that come up that are just very protective and wanting to prove or disprove what everyone's saying.
What I'd like to avoid is that we turn this into the new spectator sport where we all gather around our phones or a screen and we watch other people's lives falling apart and we consider that the category entertainment. That to me is deeply, deeply disconcerting because it says more about us than it does about the person in the video. If you find yourself watching this kind of thing compulsively, if you find yourself involving getting your daily routine chock full of other people suffering, I think that's a massive, massive problem. I find this stuff awful and I can't take in a lot of it, you know. And there are videos that people send each other on WhatsApp groups now that are just very, very disturbing. I don't like it. And I'll be honest with you, I do my best to avoid as much of it as possible. Not because I'm running away from reality, or not because I don't want to deal with the fact that we live in a screwed up, messed up world, but because that is not the reality I choose to paint for myself. And I don't want to have too much of other people's pain in my life. If that's selfish, so be it. It's self-preservation. And I'm sorry, I'm not
going exactly.
I'm not going to have this stuff on a loop in my head. It's not my life. I'm not the person who's breaking down, and I'm not the person who's causing the breakdown. And I refuse to be or someone who considers this to just be entertainment. This is someone's life. Be very careful what you include in your life, you know. So I'm sort of sorry we played it in a way. I don't know. That's how I'm feeling.
It's jarring to me. It's scary. It's sad. You know, the takeaway from Anela's funeral for me was her father saying, this is not the daughter I knew, but this is, I'm paraphrasing his words, but he said, this speaks to a bigger problem we have in society around substance abuse and drug abuse.
Right, which is a whole other chapter we have to open up.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, you know, some people think that the father was pointing fingers at AKA, but I also appreciate the fact that, to my understanding, the father wasn't just saying, oh, my daughter was just perfect and did nothing wrong, and says, you know, these things are things that are happening in society, and these things are things we need to take care of. A screenshot that was also released yesterday by someone in their inner circle shows a conversation between AKA and Anela's father, where the father also says, paraphrasing once again, because I don't want people to hold me to this, but he was saying, let's just wait for things to settle, but please take her out of this space as in entertainment and the public eye and help her in business. Because to me, that also says that the father could see that this is just not going well for her. The attention and the scrutiny or this party lifestyle is not good for her and rather just needed to be taken away.
I think that that's a whole other aspect to this that's worth exploring. I don't know if we've got time to do it today, but you know, I do believe that all of us, everybody in the world, if you're on social media now, you have the potential to be famous for the right or the wrong reasons. And this is something a lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about, because it's okay if it's happening to, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Barack Obama or to Beyonce or to AKA. It's fine if it's happening to them because they're famous. They opted into being public personalities. The fact is, all of us now are. Unless you are not on social media at all, or even if you've set your accounts to private on social media, the fact is, people can get in there because they might know someone who's already in there. And before you know it, your stuff, your life, everything that you do is part of other people's entertainment schedule. And while the father saying that to AKA is, you know, good fatherly advice, I suppose, the reality is that everyone who's listening to us now, everyone who's partaking in this show, everybody we know on a personal, professional basis, everyone's now famous. I hate to break it to you, but fame is now absolutely inevitable to everybody. So get ready. It's not always what it's cracked up to be. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, if I think back to parts of my own life where I was staying in a really tiny village, when that sort of thing happened, only the village would know, or only the neighbors would know.
Right.
But I mean, imagine dealing with it on this level where people worldwide, and sorry to use that word, people can see.
AKA worldwide.
Yeah. I did live in a village.
Yeah. What are you confused about?
You know that.
No, what village are you talking about?
So Leanne lived in a small little place in the Western Cape. That's where she was for like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Not like a village with kraals and huts.
Yeah, she didn't live in a house. Yeah. She wasn't living in like
I didn't build my house out of sand and water.
Yeah. She wasn't in the Hlathini.
Yeah, the both of you better not make me look like I'm odd for being surprised that she used the word village. Small town, I get it. You know, a sleepy town, I get village. I'm thinking, when did you wear coconuts as bras and start, you know, singing to the sun god? I know you've had 9 lives, but I didn't think living in Kavuki land was one of them.
Everyone else was wearing coconuts as bras. Mine were half watermelons, yes, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah. I don't know. Look,
okay, just clarified that.
We've got to just be very much more aware of the fact that things have changed. Videos that are made like this for perhaps the right reason. I didn't even think about that, but what Leanne said about showing someone what it looks like when they're having a tantrum or a breakdown or whatever might help them. But that's none of my business. And I do feel like sometimes when I'm watching these things, I shouldn't be able to witness other people's private moments. It feels wrong to me. I know that there are lots of people out there who are activists and who want to get involved and see this as evidence of an abusive relationship and maybe, you know, that they needed to step in and this is their friend. Sure. All of that is absolutely valid. I'm not going to take that away from you. I feel when I watch something like this and it's two people I don't know personally, that I'm intruding on a private moment. And even though, and I'm not a professional, how am I going to help? Right. It's not right. It just feels very, very uncomfortable to me that I should have to witness this. maybe that's a Gareth issue. Maybe it's a it's an everybody issue. I don't know, but it doesn't feel right to me. I don't like watching stuff like that. I don't like seeing that much of other people's lives played out in front of me like it's a soap opera. It's not. These are real people. I didn't like it in the Oscar situation either. I remember seeing those photographs of like what the house looked like after the murder, and I'm just like, I'm not that interested. Hey, I don't like it. It's very jarring.
I remember it was years after the fact because it happened when I was in diapers, but the OJ Simpson trial, and it was, I'm trying to remember specific name, Furman, Mike or Mark Furman. He was one of the police officers in that trial. And he spoke about how in all of his years of experience and things that he's seen play out legally, he thinks that's when society, our pop culture society, tipped over and started making crime, abuse, scandal newsworthy and entertainment. He said what he saw play out and how things played out was so far removed from the fact that there were two people who were now dead.
Right.
And the hands of the law were trying to figure out who was doing it. But rather now, you know, you think about it, actually, that was around the time, late 90s, everything was now a thing.
Well,
it was OJ, Diana, it was, you know, what had happened next and who had died.
This is why I don't watch, I know I'm in the minority here by big margin. I don't watch those crime channels. I don't want to see it. Like, I know that stuff's happening. I'm not an idiot, but it's none of my business. And God willing, it'll never be a part of my life. I mean, I'm going to try to live in such a way that I don't invite that kind of chaos into my life. But I can't watch other people's lives being ruined on TV, even if they happened 20 years ago. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, and that's a decision that you've made. And it's, you know, similarly for me, even though I enjoy crime channels, I won't watch animals tearing other animals apart. I've made a decision.
Same thing.
For most of my life, I used to watch it and say, you know, you need to know what's going on in the world around you. It's all part of nature.
Yeah.
You need to see these things. You need to toughen up. And I've actually decided, no, I will change the channel when I'm seeing an animal that's about to tear apart another one.
And that's
it's a personal decision that you make.
Right. And we're just part of the same animal kingdom. So, yeah, I'm there too. So, I mean, listen to some of these comments. Some people agreeing with me, other people not. Letheria says, I agree with you, Gareth. I don't need to see someone else's trauma or breakdown. Because let's just face it. I want to pause on this for a moment. A lot of people are only watching that because it makes them feel better about how fragmented and destroyed their own lives are. You know, it's the same reason people go onto social media and they jump on board when there's some story going on, because it makes them feel their lives are better and not as disgusting and deranged and screwed up as other people's. It's pure Schadenfreude.
To admit, then, if I'm analyzing it, my point of conversation, you know, just not even this AKA situation, because we feel like we know him from afar, but it's, how does this happen? And it's, you know, it's something that is not foreign to me, because I am human as well. So how am I not doing it? And does this mean that I could do it as well? And how do you get to a point where something like this happens? You know, that's why I am always intrigued when, Leanne, even if you mention the story of the hockey stick, how do you get to the point? I've been angry. I've been angry where I don't want to talk to someone for the rest of the day, where I hang up on a call. How do you get to a point where you go just over the line? That's intriguing to me.
Neil says, just consider how Anela felt when someone else stuck a phone in her face. Terrible. I would not feel safe around people like that. Yeah, I mean, that's not a friend, if you ask me. For whatever reason, it's now that it's out there, it's just not a friend. I'm with Gareth. Very uncomfortable, says B of all Bs, with having to witness someone's most difficult moments. Ruth agreeing with Neil about how Anele must have felt. And Laurel saying, I'm in agreement with you, Gareth. I don't want to see these things. I know they go on, but I don't need to see it. Well, I'm sure there are lots of people who disagree with us. So we may or may not be on the right side of this argument in terms of the, you know, the polls. But that's just how I feel. I don't need to know much more than I already have. Can we talk about more pleasant things? So Sia went on, you know, after we spoke about Ben Affleck going on the dating apps the other day, and I told you that I downloaded it and I got on there for a little while just to kind of see what it was, that Raya dating app, which is like a supposedly only for celebrities. But I mean, there was no one else on it around here, so it was a complete waste of time. I deleted it off my phone probably about 2 years ago. But you went.
Does it work?
Hmm?
Uh-huh.
No, it works like...
Does it work like Tinder then? Is it like... Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. as I understand it. But, I mean, I was just curious, like you are, about who would be on there, right? And you found a list of 15 celebrities who are on Raya that you could bump into online if you get on there. Now, I can just imagine a whole lot of people downloading Raya. And they've got all kinds. They have to approve you. You have to prove that you actually are important or famous or rich or whatever it is. And then they let you in. But I can – it's like a – it was dead there. There was no one. The streets were empty. So it didn't stay something interesting for me for very long. Very boring.
Well, Gareth, can you be our guinea pig, so to speak, in 2027 – when you're back to traveling again, go abroad then and use it there because maybe these streets are a little too.
Well, look, I mean, it's kind of like Tinder. So just think of it like that. And who is on this? Yeah, who are these celebrities who are looking for love?
So Matthew Perry famously joined back in 2016. He's still on because he's looking for some love. He actually got into some controversy because he's 51. And recently was caught speaking to a 19-year-old on the app.
Okay.
Freaky.
Matthew Perry is the guy from Friends, right?
Friends, right. Yes. Okay. Ben Affleck, as Leanne, you mentioned last week. The singer Demi Lovato has been on Raya before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. So far, good. Yeah, Channing Tatum has been on Raya, Magic Mike.
Oh, wow, okay.
Channing Tatum. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
John Mayer has been on Raya.
Good one.
Lizzo, she's on Raya right now.
Okay.
You know that not one of those people that you've mentioned I would want to date.
Oh, nonsense, Leanne. You've always had a thing for Matthew Perry, don't lie.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? When you have your own issues, you don't want to get together with someone else who's also had issues, really. Try and keep it simple.
Yeah. I'll take your issues if I can take your money.
Sia, you're disgusting. You're like such a gold digger. You are such a gold digger. It's incredible. You just said that out loud. I mean, if anybody rich ever goes near you, Sia, I'm going to play them that clip, and they're going to run for a million miles and get as far away from you as they can.
Remember, Sia, everything lives forever on the internet.
He's just realized that he said that out loud. He just said it, and he didn't realize he wasn't, like, stopping himself.
Let's carry on with the story.
Carl says, Gareth, you got way too excited by the mention of Channing Tatum. Well, I thought that guy was like he's the magic Mike dude, right? I mean, how can a guy who looks like that have trouble finding love or a date? I mean, surely all he has to do is go to the nearest bar, restaurant, club, and he's going to be swamped with women. Surely. That's why I'm a little bit blown away by it. I mean, Matthew Perry,
let's
sure.
Look 50. At what
Matthew
Raya
Perry,
was meant to
Matthew
be.
Perry's had, like, he's had drug and alcohol problems. He's 51 years old. You know, I can understand Matthew Perry going on there, but Channing Tatum, seriously, that's a bit of a surprise. I'll be honest. Lizzo, I can understand. You know, Lizzo is not everyone's cup of tea. Demi Lovato is also crazy and messed up in the head, so I can understand her being on there. I didn't peg Channing Tatum for a Raya user, but there we are.
Mm.
Oh, but let's look at what Raya was meant to be,
yeah,
which is for the famous or the super, super rich.
Okay.
So you would right. get into conversations with someone who sort of gets your life and gets your lifestyle. So you have money, you know what comes with being rich and famous. So you think, okay, well, it makes the dating process easier, I would assume.
Who else?
Yeah, just to quickly finish the list, Nick Kroll, he's an actor. He actually is married to someone right now who he met on Raya. Kelsey Hadleston, Raya, Drew Barrymore, Raya, John Cusack, Courtney Love, mm-hmm. Kelly Osbourne, Kiki Palmer, Joe Jonas actually met Sophie Turner on Raya, who
oh, right. They're married
he's now married to.
Right.
And then, yeah, and then the designer, Alexander Wang.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
I'd go for John Cusack, that's for sure.
We like John Cusack, huh?
Yeah, always had a thing for him.
Okay. You think?
I think his humor extends beyond that. There's his sister as well. So I think it would probably be a fun family to get involved with.
Do you think Melinda Gates is on there already? Or do you think she's going to give it a couple of days?
I reckon she's already in a relationship with someone, as
you
I
know,
said.
You did say that. Well, I don't know. You know, to each their own. I mean, listen, again, this is the way to date in the 21st century. There's no denying it. This is like the way people meet. So it's not weird. It's not for losers. It's definitely I know so many people who actually have got together in the last 5 years because of these dating apps. They didn't meet each other in person until they'd met first on an app. So it happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's something interesting. Derek says, I don't see a problem with Matthew Perry talking to a 19-year-old, two consenting adults on a dating app.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I have to agree with you, Derek.
I mean,
it's
yeah, they both.
Yeah, there's nothing untoward about it.
They both have agency. Yeah. They're both in a position to decide. She can always say, no, I don't have an interest in you, Matthew Perry, or she can say, I do. And similarly, he can do the same thing, you know. A lot of people think it's hilarious that Sia just said that he's a gold digger the way he did. They want us to post a clip.
Hey,
of that.
Tell me about gold. What about the coins? Mania.
I like the way you're just Sia's trying to get us to talk about something else. So, all right, Sia, in order to take the attention off of you for being a gold digger, let's turn our attention to Collectomania, which is our favorite new feature. This is where we get to talk about all the interesting stuff that people collect. And for today's episode, we're joined by Rael Demby, who's from South Africa's Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And it's brought to you today by the SA Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. So it's good to see you again, Rael. How are you?
Good in yourself.
Yeah, good, man. Sure. Nice to see you.
What's up,
yeah, you sound very quiet. Are you whispering because there's stuff going on in the house or what's happening?
Yeah, the kids are somewhere. Tell me how I'm feeling now.
No.
Any better?
You're sounding good. All right, so listen, the kids are running around, or are they still asleep?
No, they're running around. They should be more quiet. I'm good.
All right, it's nice to see you again. So listen, we've spoken about some pretty interesting collections so far, but we've got a really cool guest today. And I know you also collect the same things as he does, so that's why we've got you both on today to talk a little bit about it. And we've met people who are obsessed, people who are just so into their collections. They spend money, they spend time, and this is true for both of you. But I want to introduce our other guest for this morning, Adrian Rutman. Hey, Adrian, how are you doing, man?
Morning, guys. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, nice to see you. So you and Rael both collect watches, and we're not just talking about, you know, the kind of watch that you would wear every day to, you know, just to tell the time, although I don't know that many people who have those anymore. We're not talking about Apple watches or any of those either. We're talking about
or a swatch.
But you did, I mean, like your collection, Rael, started with a Casio watch, so it's not so weird that people would start off with something cheap, right?
Yeah, it's usually the first watch that guys start with. Young kids, maybe they get one for a couple hundred bucks, or
right.
they find one in Thailand, a fake one. And it seems to be the time that it starts. The Casio, I got myself a little data bank, which is like old school technology, calculator style.
Yeah.
And that feeling of wearing something cool and weird on your wrist is sort of how I mainly got into it. And, you know, no one can start with a Rolex unless you're
sure.
crazy. But, you know, you've got to start with something like that.
So there it is. There's a picture of that watch.
It's progressive.
I remember those. I was always very jealous. Those things were like the coolest. That was almost like a supercomputer in those days.
Yeah, well, you were never allowed to wear them during exams.
Yeah, you weren't. Yeah, that's right, because you could use the calculator, right? It's an amazing, you know, and that's still in really good condition. So you've obviously looked after it. Do you know what it's worth these days? Because in those days, it was a couple of hundred rand. What do you think those are worth now?
Like 102 rand.
So you could still, I mean, you could still
Adrian,
get it.
Adrian will tell you with high value incremental growth watches.
But I mean, are those the kind of things, Adrian, that you'd be able to buy on eBay right now and they'd be fairly cheap?
Yeah, those are not, Raul will know, as he told you, they're not really collectible. There's thousands of them or millions of them on the market, but it has that cool feature where I also know when I started as a little boy, that was always the one watch also you basically start off with, and then Swatch, and then, yeah, you move up the ranks. You don't just dive into the Rolexes or the Pateks and Richard Mills and those kind of watches. That happens over
Before we get into any of those, because I know people are really interested in the high end stuff. But I remember there was a Mickey Mouse watch where his like hands do the time, right? And that Mickey Mouse watch was like kind of a joke for a while. But those things are apparently quite rare now, and it's hard to find one in great condition. And apparently, they can command quite a good price.
As far as I know, Rolex, they, just example, there was a company that actually made dials for Rolex, and I'm not sure if that Mickey Mouse dial was actually, I think it could have been one of the dials that they actually made for the watches for Disney or something, and it actually became quite a collectible watch, but the Mickey Mouse watches you can still buy in flea markets for nothing.
Okay, so you can still get them because I heard a different story. So you're going to fill us in so we don't just go on hearsay now. All right, you collect mainly Rolexes and vintage modern pieces, vintage and modern pieces, and you actually buy and sell. Wow, look at those watches. My God, that's amazing, man. Okay, what do you got there? Tell us about some of these. Those look incredible.
Yeah, I'm a watch dealer. So what I do, I go and find deals or people call me and I buy their pre-owned watches and then I refurbish them. We put them on the website and sell them. I only recently, when I just started the business, I never actually had the money to collect the watches. I just wanted to buy a watch, flip it and get quick cash and make money. So around about 5 or 6 years ago, I actually started to hold some of the watches that I buy. And I've really just started loving vintage Rolex watches, and they've really accumulated in value over the time. From, I know you can ask Raul, he will know how those stuff actually appreciate. It's basically like Bitcoin at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Raul, give us an idea from an investment point of view of the kinds of returns that you would get off of some of these things. I mean, are these... I think we've lost Rael for a second there, but he's back. Okay, so Rael, just tell us about the investment value of some of these luxury high-end watches. Rael, can you hear us?
Again, Adrian might know. I mean, we've seen. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
I'm good.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Cool, all good.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. I don't know what's going on. There's some kind of...
Hello?
Yeah, no, there's a problem with the connection with Rael. So you just tell us, Adrian, I mean, you talk about it like it's Bitcoin, but what are we talking about in terms of increases in value?
I can just give you an example. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, I found a watch in a pawn shop in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, at that time, he wanted R1 million for the watch. It was a really old Rolex Daytona 6263 Paul Newman style. He wanted R1 million for the watch. He didn't want to tell us what he paid the lady for the watch. So I eventually went to him. I did the deal. I got the watch.
Sure.
He told us he bought that watch from the lady for, I think, R10,000. He sold it to me for R1 million. That watch eventually went to the US.
Mm-hmm.
It went on an auction and it sold for R8 million.
My God.
The original cost of that watch in the retail store back in the 70s was probably R1,200.
Man, when you talk about Rolexes, I mean, we know that there are people all over the world who buy these. We know that it's a very well-established and well-known brand. But do people wear them? Because I would be nervous if I had one of these things. Do you just put it in a safe? What do you do with these watches? I mean, are there people who practically wear them around?
No, I don't advise any of my clients to wear them. I know even your brother, he loves his watches, Gareth, and he doesn't even wear them. So, like, we get a lot of people, yeah, every week that come and actually sell their Rolexes. They're too scared to wear them. They get followed from sitting at restaurants or walking in shopping malls. So I always tell the guys, if you have an expensive Rolex, like, wear it at your house or wear it to your friend's houses when you're going over for a bri or whatever. Sure. But it's really bad. The situation is actually scary in the South African market, wearing luxury watches, especially Rolex, out in the public. It's, you're basically putting a target on your back.
There's the Rolex gang.
So, Rael, on the positive side of this, I mean, you've got a great story about your Steve Jobs watch. Tell me about that. Seems like there's a hell of a delay with Rael here. I don't know if he can hear us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave that for a second. I'm going to come back to you, Adrian, because this is amazing stuff. When people buy Rolexes, that's not the top of the pile. There are even more things that you could add to that list. There are other brands that are probably even more expensive, right?
Yes, definitely. You get Richard Mille, which is probably like the top of the luxury watches market at the moment, where those watches start anywhere from 1.8 2 million rand going up to 20 million rand for a watch.
What?
But you won't find people in South Africa wearing those.
Wow.
We actually have a few clients that actually do have those watches, but they tend to want to stay under the radar and
I'm sure
not be known.
That is phenomenal. Richard Mille, you say?
Yes. If you go, you can Google it. You'll just see it's got like a distinctive look. The case of the watch is not round. It's not square. It's like a, I don't know. Just go on. If you Google
I'll do a Google search for that. That sounds absolutely incredible. Yeah. So we're going to try and get Rael back because I do want to hear his story. But your business is called Luxury Time. You guys have been going for a while now. You sell new and unworn brand name watches at discounted prices, and now you've expanded by accepting trades and offering pre-owned watches as well. How do you find out? I mean, there must be a small circle of people who deal in these watches. I mean, you must know everybody else in the country who's involved in watches, right?
Yeah, there's only a few guys. If we were like a small community that actually deal in these watches, but a lot of new guys are also entering the market now because they the profits are quite good on the watches if you buy them and sell them again. So it's a really hot market to be in at the moment, and people are jumping on board. And, yeah, it helps me because I've been doing this for 15 years. And
amazing.
Being in this kind of industry, it's a trust game. There's so many fakes doing the rounds, so many watches that are actually built up from original parts, and put together, but it's not a real watch. And those watches would be sold for hundreds of thousands of rands, and the end users won't even know it.
Yeah, you have to know who you're dealing with, right? Rael, I think we've got you back now. Can you hear us? Just as I thought.
Perhaps
you were
not.
Yeah, perhaps not. He was there. No. Hang on. Here he comes.
I wanted to say, Adrian, that I interviewed a watchmaker. I used to do some work for World's Finest Watches. And what really fascinated me was that we don't have watchmakers in South Africa. And we also don't train them in South Africa. that they were only trained for a while overseas. And he mentioned that as an experiment, one of the Swiss watchmaking companies came to train watchmakers in South Africa for a 3-year period. And that was about 20 years ago. So wow. it's a really rare career to have here. And it's certainly nothing that you can apply to study for after school.
No, that's actually a big problem that we have our own in-house watchmaker, but I mean, the guy is not on the level of the Rolex guys in Switzerland that work for the big companies. And I mean, those guys charge you between 10 and 20,000 rand just for a normal service on a watch. There's actually a big gap in the South African market for a proper watch servicing center where guys can actually have their watches repaired, yeah, locally, than to send them to Geneva, which takes like 6 months to get your watch back.
And Geneva is the capital of all of this, right? That's where it all goes down. That's where big watchmakers are.
It goes to Switzerland, but I'm just saying Geneva because that's the capital. Of watches. Okay. It's known as the world.
I just want to try. I want to try one more time to get Rael on here. Rael, can you hear us?
I got you.
Oh, okay. You there we go. Me? Yeah. I wanted to hear the story of your Steve Jobs watch.
Yeah, so I was, I'm a big reader in the watch blogs. I read the Hodinkee out in the US, that little piece there. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful story about Steve Jobs' watch that went on auction, and it sold for about $43,000 US. And he wore this watch every day of his life. Mm-hmm. And a year later, Seiko came out with a reinterpretation or a reissue of it, and they only produced about, it was 19,082 from the year 1982, the year that watch was originally launched. And I said, I have to find this watch. It meant so much to me. I'm an Apple guy, and I searched for it, and locally you can't get these pieces. So I went onto Instagram, found someone in Japan who had a connection, and we did a deal through PayPal. I just took a risk. I didn't know if it would work. I got it, and to have something with not much high-end value still means so much to me.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And apparently you've also got one of those James Bond 007 Seamasters. Is that something you've got, or is it something you want?
It is something I got. I found one in Switzerland. And, you know, what I want to say is that you can start off with something small and it can mean something to you. You could be 20 years into your collection and buy a watch. That's what you want.
Yeah.
The real beauty of it is getting what you want. And it is fashion, but you still get to enjoy it, and maybe it means something to you on the day. You might be feeling happy or angry or sad, and a watch can like sort of set your day into the right mix. And that's certainly what I do at work, to just try to to wear Steve Jobs' watch and remember what he did. We try to do similar innovations at our work, and maybe we're not there yet, but you know.
But you guys, you guys make coin watches, right? Where the face of the watch is actually a coin.
We sell them. Yeah. The coin watches, a group from the from Australia. They're wonderful guys there, and they embed coins into the watches. You can't use a Kruger Rand and do that here, because that would be like defacing or cutting the Kruger Rand. But there are ways of doing it, and we sell them. Like Adrian said, you don't want to be wearing a 100 grand golden coin on your wrist, so they aren't popular.
Well, listen, guys, we could talk about this all day, and I suggest that anybody who has a collection, anything like what Adrian and Rael are talking about this morning, you let us know. Get us on gareth@cliffcentral.com. We'd like to hear about what it is that you collect. We want to know all about the mad obsessive collections that you keep, and we want to keep talking about this for week after week, because it's fascinating. I have not had one moment during this discussion where I haven't been a little bit jealous or a little bit curious or a little bit envious or a little bit interested in what people are up to. So guys, thank you very much for joining us this morning. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. You can see what the previous episodes have detailed and what people are collecting. So Rael Denby, very nice to see you. And Adrian Rutman, good to see you too. Isn't that cool, Leanne?
So amazing. And yeah, I just, having been in the watch industry a few years back.
I thought it was fascinating what you said about, like, we don't have watchmakers in this country.
Yeah. I also used to work with a very big importer of watches. Mm. It was one of the clients that I could never, ever finish learning about.
Yeah.
You know, you have these brands where they've got a certain number of SKUs or SKUs, and you finish learning about the brand. You learn all the ingredients. If it's a beauty product, you learn all of their business practices. If it's a financial product. But with watches, you can never stop learning. It's really, really fascinating.
Well, I looked at this, the Richard Mill. I just want to find you a picture of that quickly to have a look at, because they do not give you prices on many of these, right? They don't talk about prices at all. So you kind of have to ask first, and then they'll maybe tell you what the price is. That's as close as you're going to get to any of this stuff. But just hearing them talk about it, there's some unbelievably valuable pieces out there. People are just, we're scratching the surface today. I mean, we don't even, You can't believe what people will pay. And remember, they're doing a lot of this because it's investment, right? It's not just, it's not to wear on your wrist like you and I think about a watch. Here's this Richard Mille. Look at that. Look at that thing. You could see all the inner workings of the watch.
I would call that shape maybe squoval. It's like a square oval.
Yeah, it's a squoval.
Rectangle oval.
But it's covered in, it looks like little diamonds. I mean, those look like...
It would be diamonds, yeah. Jesus. It would be diamond fragments. Wow.
Unreal.
Yeah.
All right. No,
it's really fascinating.
It scares me a little because of how clumsy I am.
Yeah, you scratch it.
That's exactly why you would not wear something like that. But imagine wearing it and you miss the door handle and you hit your...
Well, here's something interesting to think about this morning. Leanne has a list of the 10 wealthiest cities in Africa. And I wonder how many of them are in South Africa. This continent is not well known for being one of the wealthiest in the world, but it's surprising how we've shot up in the rankings. And there are lots of places in South Africa where property's expensive, where people have really nice cars, where people live pretty good lives. And it will be interesting for us to compare the 10 wealthiest cities in Africa. So let's have a look at those.
I'm actually battling to find the story.
Find the 10 wealthiest.
After we've built it up so much, Leanne.
No, it's ridiculous. Okay, no, I've got it now. Thank you. The top 10 wealthiest cities in Africa.
Yeah.
Now I've lost the story again.
Oh, my God. Sorry. You're losing your mind.
Can you maybe talk about something else and I'll be back shortly?
No problem. We'll just sit here and twiddle our thumbs. Yeah. Sing the theme tune, do the theme tune, do. Jesus. All right. No, don't worry about it, ass. It's not the most important thing in the world. I thought it would be.
Okay, I found the story.
Oh, are you sure you're not going to lose it again?
Are you sure this time?
No.
Promise I've got it.
I'm pretty sure.
You want to start from the back?
Yeah, I think let's start at number 10 and let's go through at number 1.
Okay, we've got Ghana's capital, Accra.
All right, where are we at number 10?
Ghana. So Accra in Ghana. Got you. The capital. Mm-hmm. Casablanca is at number 9.
It's in Morocco.
It's the largest city in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Luanda, which is in Angola. I wouldn't have thought that, actually.
Well, you see...
It's quite...
Yeah, Luanda is... I mean, this is fascinating because the place is... It's just a boom town at the moment. There's more development going on there than anywhere else, but it's a scramble for natural resources. And the Chinese are very involved in Luanda. If you fly into Luanda and you need to spend a night in a hotel, you'll probably pay more than you would in any hotel in Joburg.
That's amazing. The city has a total net wealth of $42 billion.
Hmm.
And the city has only one dollar billionaire. Right behind Luanda, it's where South Africa starts to feature. Number seven with Pretoria.
All right, but that's now. Remember, we're going from number 10 up to number one. So actually, Pretoria is better than Luanda. Okay, good.
In other words, yes.
All right, good.
$45 billion dollars is U.S. dollars is the total wealth of the city.
What is the definition of wealth in this instance for the city? They don't mean the number of wealthy people there.
I think they mean in terms of trade
and investment or people.
No, I think this is quite a simplistic calculation. I think they're just working out how many really, really rich people live there.
Then I need to make notes.
So yeah, this is where you're going to find your husband.
Yeah, Pretoria. One notch up from there is Nairobi, which I'm not surprised by at all. Also, huge developments going on in Kenya at the moment. Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, it's all starting to happen.
Okay.
In fifth place is Durban, which is also the third wealthiest city in South Africa, as we know.
Look at Sia writing it all down. He's Durban's fifth. That's great. Okay. Durban. He knows Durban, you see.
Yes. Yes.
Durban's total wealth is about $54 billion. Okay. In fourth place, we've got Lagos, which is at $96 billion.
That's almost a double of Durban. That's a hell of a step up. All right, so Lagos really looking strong. Number four, number three.
Also at number three, we have Cairo, the capital of Egypt.
Right.
The city itself accounts for 22% of Egypt's economy and is home to the most billionaires in Africa.
Wow.
Totaling five. Total wealth is $129 billion.
So yeah, that's where you've got to go. So far, that's the one. Okay.
Most billionaires.
Right.
Yeah. In second place, Cape Town, with a value of $133 billion. The city has $1 billionaire. And in first place, Johannesburg. Yay.
Ta-da.
So you don't even have to go anywhere, Sia.
You're already
at home.
My street. Okay. How much is Joburg worth?
An estimated wealth of $248 billion.
Wow. How
many it's also
we have here?
$2 billionaires and about 16,000 millionaires.
All right. So basically we got Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, Pretoria. Those are the big cities. Please notice that PE and Bloemfontein are not in that list. Nobody would have put them in that list. I just want to point that out to anybody who thought that PE and Bloemfontein were important cities. They're not.
Why did you have to mention them as opposed to Upington?
Because they claim to be important cities. I mean, PE claims to be an important place. We even had to change the name of it the other day because it's so fucking important and nobody cares. And as for Bloemfontein, I mean, you're really just it's just a truck stop on the way between Cape Town and Joburg. That's all it is. So don't take them too seriously, but there we are. So it's Durban, it's Cape Town, it's Pretoria, and it's Johannesburg. Johannesburg is the jewel in the crown still. Remember, we've got
And if you are going to travel outside of South Africa, then you should look at Cairo in Egypt.
Exactly. But otherwise, don't bother. So Mpihleng saying, Sia, your facial expressions, you're high guy, you and rich men. And Eleutheria says, Sia is polishing his gold digging shovel. Yes, Sia, you've now got a reputation. Carl DeSantis just adding in here, Luanda is the most expensive city in the world. It's quite possible because I think they have to import most of what they've got there. Sharon says, talking about wealth, please do a segment on Blind History about Mansa Musa, the wealthiest man that ever lived. A fascinating story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really good. I think we actually have him on our list of people we want to cover, Mansa Musa. He was the richest man that ever lived throughout history. It's including if you take, you know, inflation of currencies, inflation of value, the scarcity of resources, everything else. So that's really interesting stuff. Okay. Here's just a point being made by Pihleng. He says, I can't get used to the idea of wearing a watch. It just screams formal to me, and it's not my style. But recently I've been entertaining the idea because I'm tired of taking my phone everywhere I go. Well, I've never been a watch. I'm not a jewelry wearer. I have to remember to put a watch on sometimes if it's necessary to wear one or not. And I have one watch, and it's not one of these top level ones that we were talking about just now. It's nice, but it's simple. It's got a leather strap, and it's a nicely made watch, but nothing near what these guys we were talking to today have. And I don't wear it. Like, if I think about it, it's probably one of the most stupid things I've ever bought because it never gets put on.
Well, it's, the same has to be said for diamond jewelry. I mean,
you've got your big safe in your house. You've got millions and millions of rands worth of diamonds that I know that you love to wear, Elizabeth. Yes. Taylor. So
I did have quite a few, though. I collected quite a few. I had two solitaire engagement rings. I had eternity wedding bands, two of those. A really gorgeous topaz necklace. A Tag Heuer watch. I had all of those things, and I wasn't wearing them. They're lying in a drawer, and you've got to keep them clean as well because they start to age. Mm. They were just lying in a drawer, and every night I think, well, if someone breaks in tonight, they'll take them.
Every night.
Did you sell them?
Yeah.
You have.
I auctioned. I had them auctioned off.
Okay.
And I actually feel so much better for it. I've got beautiful photographs of what they look like because the auction house puts that together for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I have the memory of them, and I just don't have to stress about them being around. It's really, they were just lying around, so it wasn't okay. Ideal. I'd rather have a nice photograph.
Absolutely. No, listen, I'm with you. I think that these things have replaced our watches in such a big way that now if you need to, I don't ever check the time on my wrist. I check it on my screen of my phone. And I have an Apple watch too, but I don't even remember to wear that most of the time.
Mm.
So I don't know. For people who love them, they love them.
I think it's also the sign of the times and the changing of fashion.
Of the times. End on that stupid note. I love it. All right, listen, everybody.
Your timing is impeccable.
Your timing is great because we're out of time. It is it's 8 o'clock, and we've got to wrap this thing up. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. And remember, you can always get hold of us. Let us know what's on your mind. Gareth@cliffcentral.com or 0797482090. That's the WhatsApp line. Or you can just comment on YouTube, and we'll come straight to you. That's how it works. Thanks for being part of the show this morning. We will see you tomorrow.
Cliffcentral.com.